Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the dean and founder of DirectionsU.com and the creator of the 30dayIMChallenge.com, calling to you live this week from Ladson, South Carolina, just a little bit north of Charleston, where I'm visiting with my good friends David and Susan Preston. David's the legendary consultant and offline cash cow guru. And I've got with me today my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com. How are you, Rhonda?
I am great. I am calling you from my usual location of Lampy, Missouri, and it's a soggy, soggy day here. It's a great day for soup and cuddling up and reading a book.
Oh, it's a beautiful sunny day here, probably in the low 80s, but it was chilly last night. Oh, boy, it got down to a whole 62 degrees, and I thought I was going to freeze. So, Rhonda, we've got a great show lined up for today. Who do we have with us today, Rhonda?
We absolutely do. We have somebody that I met because of a relationship built with someone that I've never met. You know how these things go online.
I do.
So, and the reason I'll tell this story here is just to remind us that anything that we do, you just never know who you're going to encounter, what is going to happen because of the relationship that you start to build. And it might be that you start from Twitter or Facebook or somebody's opt-in list or whatever. And when you really take it and start communicating with people, then amazing things start to happen. Well, one of the people who started kind of paying attention to what I'm doing and we communicated back and forth and is another blind person, invited me to, it referred me over to Ricky Young, who is our guest today. And Ricky Young, one of the things that he does is that he has a terrestrial radio show and he does have a blog talk radio show as well, but he really is someone who is passionate about bringing people to a place of success. And he has a show very early on a Sunday morning. It was moving to Friday now, excuse me, is that he brings on guests. Some of them are people from the local community in New York. Some people are others. And I was a guest that he brought on because of, she's blind, I can on Twitter. And it was just kind of fun how those things happen. So who we have today here is Ricky Young. He is actually known for his boxing, which seems to me you kind of at first might go, well, boxing, what on earth could that have to do with relationships? So that's one of the things we'll have good fun time exploring today. And he has, as I mentioned, two radio shows, both online and offline. On Blog Talk Radio, his show is Boxing for Success, so blogtalkradio.com/boxing4success. And offline, his show, unfortunately, you can't hear it all the time, but I did go and record the segment that I was on and put it up on the blog. So, Ricky, welcome. We're really happy to have you here and talk about building great success, building strong communities, and strong relationships.
Well, I am definitely honored to be on your show today, on this very special
cool.
day. I have some breaking news.
Wow. We love breaking news.
Love breaking news?
We do.
Well, here's the breaking news. Guess what? Everybody that's walking on the planet has greatness within them.
Mm-hmm. That is really good news.
Yeah, that's right. There's nobody on this planet that does not have greatness in them. You know, it's funny, I just came back from Boston, And I come out to the station, the bus station, like 4:30 in the morning, and I see people laying on the street. And it's raining. I'm saying, wow, how sad is that? I'm saying, this person has greatness in them that they just haven't discovered or haven't implemented in their life. They have greatness in them. And they're sleeping on the sidewalk.
Well, you know, you interviewed someone a couple weeks ago who's one of my favorite people on this planet, Orrin Hutson, from BeSomeone.org. And he is certainly someone that sees greatness within everybody.
Yeah, Orrin Hutson?
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He has a phenomenal program where he teaches young, inspires young people by playing chess. And ironically, you know, his story, there was a tragedy that happened in New York, in Queens, at this Wendy's restaurant. I've actually eaten in that Wendy's restaurant. I've been there. It's in Flushing, Queens. And I remember even after it happened, I remember walking past there, looking and saying how sad that was that this incident happened. It was a shooting. A guy took some employees into the basement and shot all of them in the head. How sad is that? You know,
I remember when that happened.
To rob the store. So, it's a sad situation. And this person did not discover that he has greatness in him. He hasn't discovered his greatness. Because if he did, he would have never done that.
Exactly. And what Orrin does is Orrin helps inner city kids to learn to use the game of chess to analogize it to the game of life so that they can get off the streets and get out of gangs and stay away from drugs and really learn how to live life and really use the greatness within themselves.
Right, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And I definitely admire Orrin and the work that he's doing. And I was actually talking about relationships. Guess I was referred to him by, guess who? Bob Berg, Go-Giver.
Oh, interesting.
So you need to reach
who is
out
our
to
guest
you?
Next week?
Is it really? Oh, that's awesome.
So
you talked about a small world. What a small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't, you know, I really refuse to move forward without talking about my secret. Like, you know how James Bond has a secret weapon? Well, I have a secret weapon, too.
I've been reading about this secret weapon, so I got to hear it from the horse's mouth.
My secret weapon is called Jackie Fernandez.
That's right.
That's my buddy. That's my angel. She helped me. She teaches me things, and she's just an amazing person. She's an amazing woman, Jackie Fernandez. As a matter of fact, she's the one she told me about you guys. She says I got to meet you. Wanted me to meet you because, you know, she knows the show that I do, and she just told me I have to meet you guys. So I want to thank Jackie for introducing me to you, Gina, and you, Rhonda.
Well, thank you also, Jackie, from us. So tell us a little about your story, Ricky.
Well, I was born in a place called Savannah, Georgia. I don't know if you ever heard of that, Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite places.
And my mom, she brought me to New York at 11 months old, New York City, Harlem, New York.
Just a little difference between Savannah and Harlem.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
Yeah. And I've, you know, been here and, you know, growed up in Harlem and, you know, did all the things that a young person did, but always had ambition. Always, from a young guy, I was always very ambitious. I mean, I played sports. I played basketball and all different types of sports growing up. And then eventually I got into boxing. I wound up becoming a professional boxer. Never thought that would ever happen, but I became a professional boxer. And I did well, just very, very well, very well. I won most of my matches. And, you know, the way I look at boxing, especially now, I look at it from a standpoint of artistically, as an art, not, you know, two guys. Because I had a very scientific teacher. He was a master teacher. He taught me defense. And that's one of the most important parts of boxing. When you can defend yourself, and it's almost like chess in a sense. You can defend and protect yourself, as in life, then you have no problems.
Very true.
So I had a great teacher, and I wound up having a great career in boxing. And, you know, I met a lot of wonderful people. I got to travel. I went to Spain. I went to London. I went to Ireland 3 times because of boxing. And it was just a wonderful experience.
And so what do you do today?
Well, today I actually teach boxing as for exercise in health clubs throughout the city. Taught at Columbia University for 11 years. That was a phenomenal experience because I get to meet people from all over the world. International teaching. I'm teaching people from Russia, from Germany, from China, from Japan. I mean, it's just been fun. It's been an awesome experience, you know, working with, you know, young minds, young intellectual minds, and teaching them the boxing principles. It's been so much fun. And I've taught in many health clubs throughout New York City. And again, you know, talking about relationships, it's all about relationships because I don't even have a resume. I've taught boxing all these different clubs throughout the city, and it's all been word of mouth and networking and meeting people and building relationships.
And boxing is one of those games that most people think of as being physical, but it's more mindset than anything else, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely, without a doubt. But even before I got into teaching, it was 1993, and I'm in my mom's apartment. You know, there's a lot of good things happen when you hang out with your moms. You ever notice that?
Yeah, that can be true.
I'm an advocate for woman's power. So anyway, I walk into my mom's room, and I'm already an ambitious young man. I see this guy on TV. He says, you got to be hungry. He says, you got to fight for your dream. You have to go after your dream night and day. You have to think about it. You have to think it, eat it, walk it, sleep it, talk it. He said, if you fall down, try to land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. You got to be hungry. I said, wow. And that was Les Brown, Leslie Calvin Brown, motivational.
Oh, neat guy.
Yep.
And hearing his story, you know, him and his mother, Mamie Brown, you know, being adopted, found him and his twin brother found abandoned in a building. And Mamie Brown adopted them. And, you know, that was just a phenomenal story. Then I got to meet Les Brown, you know, became friends with him and went to see him speak several places. And that just opened up the door. That just opened up the box of success and motivation. And there's no looking back now.
And were you already boxing at that time?
Well, the motivation, because I was working, had a job. I had been a professional boxer. I had stopped boxing. Are you going to get me to date myself now? I had stopped boxing. I stopped boxing in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So I had worked a few jobs, you know, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, trying to figure it out. And then after, you know, seeing Les Brown and getting his book, and reading his book, Live Your Dreams, I was working as a hospital police officer in Harlem Hospital. And that's a decent job. It's a pretty good job, you know, benefits and the whole works. That's pretty good. But reading those books and going to those seminars told me that, you know what, there's more for me to do. I didn't know what, but I knew it was something else for me to do. And I didn't know what, but I had to start searching. I started searching. And then eventually I got into teaching, which happened also in 93.
And what is it that you love about teaching?
Well, it's a great feeling. You know, you empower, you know, it's all about helping people and empowering people to know, as I said when we first started, there's greatness in all of us. I get people to do things that they don't think that they could do physically. And when they do that, that gives them confidence. You know, that builds up their self-esteem. Fitness is definitely a self-esteem builder. I don't care who you are. I was just thinking today and last night, I want to start a push-up project. I want to try to get as many people doing push-ups as possible, people that would never do push-ups. And guess what? Everybody could do push-ups. There's no one that can't do a push-up. Even if you can't do it on the floor, modified on your knees, they got a thing called wall push-ups. And you just take maybe two steps back and you lean forward on the wall and you kind of push. And it's not about being muscular and getting muscular, but it's about getting stronger and feeling stronger and getting that confidence.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me about wall push-ups because I've had 9 back surgeries and 4 knee operations, and I don't get down on the floor very easily.
Okay, well,
right.
You do the wall push-ups, and I guarantee you, you will feel yourself getting stronger. You know, one of the thrills, I'm talking about a complete thrill of having my radio show is I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Lee Haney. He lives in Atlanta. This man was an 8-time Mr. Olympia bodybuilding champion, and he broke Arnold Schwarzenegger's record, who did it 7.
Wow.
And Lee Haney is like an encyclopedia when it comes to exercise, fitness, nutrition. And you would think, oh, he's a bodybuilder. What do he know about seniors? But he knows the whole gamut when it comes to fitness. So interviewing him, I learned so much talking to him. It was wonderful interviewing him. And I get to interview all of these cool people. It's great.
That is great. So, Rhonda, what would you like to know from Ricky today?
Well, you know, one of the things that intrigued me, I mean, it has to do with boxing and this whole mindset thing. And so here's what it is. A lot of folks think that boxing is just about two people knocking the snot out of each other. And, I mean, I'll admit that probably is true, but boxing as a sport, I think, has some things that can teach people about success. And a few minutes ago, when we just kind of brushed very lightly on the whole issue of mindset and boxing and strategy, you know, Gina, is something I know that you love, and we've also talked about chess, and that's such a great strategy builder as well. But so take us into, Ricky, this whole notion about the mindset component in boxing and how that can teach entrepreneurs and business owners and others who are using the power of the internet for their business. How can boxing teach us something that we can use for our life and business?
Well, I tell you, here's the thing. You know, one of the things about boxing is that it's like chess. You know, you have an opponent, and there's times when you have challenges in boxing, and the question is, how do you deal with that challenge? You have to figure out a strategy of how to maneuver against your opponent. And you talked about earlier, a few minutes ago, you said about two people knocking the snot out of one another. But I tell you, there was an article in the paper. I don't know if you can find it on the internet. It's like back from the 40s or whatever. And there was a guy by the name of Willie Pep. And they did an article on him where he won a round in a boxing match without throwing a punch. That he so mastered in the ring at that time and mastered his opponent without even throwing a punch.
How in the heck can you do that?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Well, we need to find that article. It was a great article. I guess the way he maneuvered and controlled everything and had the guy miss, he was very, very hard to hit. Very tough to hit. He knew how to move. He knew how to maneuver. He had that instinct of how to get out the way. But, you know,
that is really cool.
Yeah. But
that's strategy all the way, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nothing but.
I actually have a tape where I was actually boxing a guy. It was an exhibition match. And, of course, I was much more experienced than this guy. He was a lot bigger than I am, just a little bit stronger, less experienced, and we had a little exhibition. He was trying to knock my head off, and he could not touch me. And I was so close to him, it was unbelievable. I just made him miss and miss. It was so funny, people were like literally laughing, because for me being so close, you would think, how could he not hit me? And I was just making him miss. It was something like, it was almost like spiritual. It's a spiritual thing when you can just get into another level and take it to a higher level, and you get this feeling, and you know what he's going to do even before he does it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in business, I think you just learn how to deal with adversity. As a matter of fact, speaking of business, one of my students that I train, who's older than I am, and he's a very successful businessman. He works with a very, very prestigious money management company. Just wrote a book. This is the second book. The first book he wrote was called White Collar Boxing, because a lot of businessmen are getting into boxing now, because they're finding out the secrets and how great it is, a great condition, and how it helps them mentally. He wrote a book called White Collar Boxing. But his second book that we just had a book party last Tuesday is called Life in the Ring, Lessons and Inspiration from the Sport of Boxing by John E. Oden. So that pretty much, he pretty much goes into everything that we're talking about now. He wrote a book about it. Isn't that cool?
We'll have to go look at that book. That sounds like a great book.
Life in the Ring, Lessons and Inspiration from the Sport of Boxing.
And his last name is O-D-O-N?
Yes, O-D-E-N, Oden. John E. Oden.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And we'll put that up in the show notes, too, since we're talking about it here. So what you're talking about there is some of the strategy, getting into a zone, and no matter what punches somebody is throwing at you, that you can get out of the way and you can emerge victorious. And you said something very interesting, Ricky, a few minutes ago. You said that you have been teaching for a number of years and been invited to teach at various places without ever showing somebody a resume and ever going through the usual job search things that most people think about who are job searching. That is, of course, because of the power of relationships. So what is your secret? How do you make that happen? That's part of why you're invited here on this show, is because we are all about relationship marketing and growing your business and doing everything through the power of relationships, which you're just brilliant at. So come on, what's your secret? Spill it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, I really do, like, care about people, love people, care. I really, honestly, I think that's why I'm doing the work that I'm doing, because I really do care about people, and I really, truly want to see people do well. And I think a lot of people get that. They get that. You know, they say, you know what, they get that. And, I think that's pretty much what it is. It's really simple. It's not that complicated. It's just, you know, caring about people. And that, I mean, when someone is, we call it being authentic. When someone is inauthentic, you kind of know it. You kind of know it. And
you can feel it for sure.
Feel it.
Absolutely.
You can feel it. And, you know, and that I think that's been a part of it. You know, when I ask people to be guests on the show, I very rarely do they say no. A lot of times they say yes. And I guess they could feel my passion about me, you know, wanting to, you know, showcase whatever they're doing. And you know, the name of the show is called What's in Your Hands, which is a motivational term that I got from a gentleman by the name of Adam Clinton Powell Jr. And it's actually a biblical term, what's in your hand. So,
say a little bit more about.
Excuse me?
Well, you know, just say a little more about that. So you're going through life really being authentic, which is key. And, yes, I agree, you can definitely feel when somebody is not. But so how does this true and honest desire to bring out that greatness in people, how do you take that into a place where you might want to, in your case, to teach, or where you want to make something happen, and then turn that into the result and desire that you have? Because I think there are a lot of well-intentioned people who do not bridge that gap. And Gina, wouldn't you agree with that? A lot of great people with great skills, but yet they don't they don't bridge that gap between being authentic, being awesome people, and getting results to happen.
I would definitely agree with that.
Well,
so, Ricky, what's your recipe? How did you then go from these different places for teaching and whatever without a resume and get them to hire you and to believe in what you're doing and so that you could bring about those results?
One person would tell someone about me, or I would meet someone, and they would feel my passion about, you know, what I'm doing. They would feel the passion, and a lot of times it's word of mouth. Word of mouth. Actually, you know, by me teaching at Columbia, it was pretty much an accident. Well, I don't believe in accidents. I believe everything happens for a reason, but I was teaching a young lady. No, I met a young lady who at an event, and she was a student at Columbia, so she wanted me to train her. And I would train her and her mother, but we would meet at Columbia, and we'd go there and meet, and they were like pretty much the worst boxers I ever trained. I was like, oh, God. But, you know, it was fun, you know, working with them. But being there at Columbia, that's when I found out that they had a boxing team. And I met them, and we just started talking and got into conversation. I would come and visit them from time to time. And I never even mentioned to them that I taught boxing. But, you know, coming to see them and just talking to them, and one day it just happened to come up. And they said, oh, you teach? I said, yes, I teach. And they asked me, would I teach there? And they gave me like a real lowball figure. And I thought about it. I said, all right, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, colleges don't pay
really
great.
Excuse me?
Colleges don't pay really great. I've taught at a college before.
They were nice. You know, they were nice people. I said, you know what? I wanted to help them. You could see that they really wanted me to, you know, work to teach them. So I said, okay. I'll do it. You know, I liked helping people. So, I mean, to answer your question, you know, like some things kind of. You know, it kind of comes naturally. Like, so even like with teaching, like some of the things I do when I'm showing somebody something, like I was showing my student something. I was training someone yesterday, and he says, how did you do that? And I was like, it was almost hard to explain it because it's so natural. I just do it. So
right. When
someone has an ambition in life and they want to do good, I think that kind of is in them already, and I think they got to bring it out. So, you know, me like caring about people and being ambitious is a part of who I am, and I hope that that's in everyone, and I think that'll show. Because if you're not authentic, if you really don't care about people, or you've been brought up not to care about people, then it's going to show up. I'm sorry, it's going to show up. So the secret weapon is just being authentic. Than just, you know, being authentic and really caring about people. I once heard a quote. They said, people don't care about what you know. They only care about. They only know that you care. Something like that. One of those wonderful quotes. And people want to know that you care. And they feel it. And I think when they do, they want to help you. And just like, you know, Jackie, you know, she says, I can feel your heart. You have a wonderful heart. You have a wonderful spirit about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wants to help me. And I have to say she's right. Because now I want to help her. And that's how it works.
So what you're really talking about, in as well as just being authentic and caring about people, what you are doing, see, one of the things that I love to teach people, and I often end up teaching people, is how to catch yourself doing what you're great at so that you can realize the system that you actually do have for it. Because a lot of times when we do something very naturally, it comes to us with ease and with no effort whatsoever. We are unconsciously competent. We can do it in our sleep with both hands tied behind our back, but we're unconscious of how we do it. And the interesting thing then becomes catching yourself doing what you do naturally. And what's the first thing that happens, and what's next, or what is the cue that sets this natural chain reaction off? Because once you start to become aware of that, then you can bring what you're naturally good at, what you're unconsciously competent at, into a level of conscious competence so that you can then, if you will, dissect it and figure out the steps, the pieces, figure out the strategy behind how it is that you know what you know and do what you do very naturally, because then you can teach it with not that you can't teach it before that, but you can teach with a greater awareness and understanding of the steps that somebody can complete to get to that same place. And once you are catching yourself being great, catching yourself being that natural teacher, that natural connector who can just start talking to people, and the next thing you know, you've picked up a teaching job, or you've picked up a new radio guest or whatever it is. And then as you let that all sink back into the unconsciousness, you're even at a higher level of mastery because you have become aware of the process and of the system that you use.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's powerful. That's right. That's 100%. But, you know, also there's some things, you know, as far as, you know, your gifts.
Right.
That don't come easy, that you really
right.
have to work for. And some people, when it doesn't come easy, oh, that's not for me. But some things you really, really have to work at. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with, are you familiar with Malcolm Gladwell?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, he's got this new book called Outliers.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that in order to be really good at something, you have to invest at least a minimum of 10,000 hours to be really great at something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even with talent and ability, you still have to put the effort in. You know, Michael Jordan worked really, really hard at being a great or being the best basketball player. He was the first one at practice, the last one to leave. Tiger Woods, from what I understand, hits like 1,000 balls every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to, even if it comes natural or if it doesn't, you really have to put the effort in and work really hard. You know, because when I first got into the radio, I thought I was going to just be talking and interviewing people. But the general manager, she said, well, you have to learn how to work the board. Because if you don't know how to work the board, you can't have the show. Because no matter how good the show is, we can't get someone into the studio that time of morning to work the board for you. I said, oh, wow. So I had to learn, and I don't consider myself to be a very technical person. But I had to learn how to work that board if I wanted the show. And I really wanted the show, so I had to really work at it. I mean, I made my mistakes. I still make mistakes. But, you know, it's about improving and getting better.
Mm-hmm.
So when you really want something, you're gonna go for it when you really, truly want something. That's important, too, to know what you want. A lot of people don't even know what they really want. You have to know what you want.
Now, out on your Blog Talk Radio show and some of the other things that I've read about you, you talk about inspiring readers and listeners to use what you call tags. And I assume that tags is also a part of knowing what it is that you really want. Can you talk a little bit about what tags means?
Well, tags, it stands for talents, abilities, gifts, skills. Now, some talents are, you know, we know that they're already in you already, and even still, some of those talents you have to work on to improve those talents. Ability, you know, you have abilities within you already, but again, you have to work on them and develop them. Gifts. You pretty much come here with your gifts. Your gifts are given to you. There's things that you can do that's very, very, you can do easy. It's very challenging for me. We all have gifts. There's no one as I said, there's no one on this planet that did not come to this planet with gifts. You can ask 100 people, and at least 80% will say they don't know what they are. But you know what? As I heard Brian Tracy say, if you don't know what your purpose is, that should be a full-time job finding out what it is. You need to find out. You need to read, talk to people, try different things, make mistakes. Most people are afraid to fail. Do not be afraid to fail. And learn from the failure. And then skills. Don't forget skills. You know, skills, of course, skills is something you have to work at as well, too. Skills you need to work at. You develop skills that just doesn't just come naturally. You have to work at certain skills to develop them. And that's pretty much what tags is.
The whole idea of fear of failure is one that is really a big deal. You're right. Just about every person out there experiences a fear of failure or a fear of success or some underlying belief that holds them back. And I would think that the same is true in boxing. How do you get your students to overcome those underlying fears that are holding them back?
Well, you know, through the physical, you get them to do things that they did not think they can do, they get confidence. You know, speaking, let's go back to push-ups. I'm teaching at Columbia University, and I told these two young ladies, I said, hey, I'm going to have you doing one-hand push-ups. And they looked at me like I was from another planet, from like Mars or something like that. And I started working with them and showing them a modified way of how to do it. And guess what? Lo and behold, in time, these two young ladies were doing one-hand push-ups, unmodified. And modified means when you use your knees to assist you. But they were doing it without their knees. And a lot of men can't even do that. And I had them doing it. And they didn't believe they could do it in the beginning. So, you know, you just have to find a way to show them how they could do it. And the physical and the mental, you know, they work together. Sometimes you have to build up the physical to build up the mental, and then sometimes it takes the mental to build up the physical. But then they work together. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does.
You know, if you say a person is feeling bad about something, you know, upset about something, a couple of things they can do. It depends on their condition, you know, where they are. They could go for a jog. They could go for a walk. Or they can just get a pen and paper and put pen to paper or, you know, now on the computer, start writing. And I say, when you're going through your worst challenge, you might write a masterpiece. Maybe that challenge was given to you for a reason. Maybe that's not the problem that you think it is. Maybe it's your blessing. How about that?
And that's exactly how I teach my students. The things that people look at and they go, oh, man, I can't believe something else bad's happening to me, are usually blessings in disguise, if you choose to see them that way.
Well, you know, I have a guest for you guys. Her name is Tawana Williams. She would love to be a guest on your show. She lives in North Carolina. She is 4'5". She is a mother, wife, singer, poet, entrepreneur, author, motivational speaker. I don't know. I might have left something out. She does it all.
Rhonda, you got to get her on the show.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. Tawana Williams. Just go to TawanaWilliams.com. Tell her Rick Young said to contact her. This woman, 4'5", was born without arms.
Oh, mm-hmm. My goodness.
She was born mm-hmm. without arms. And her home was invaded. She was gang raped. She'll tell you. And she was on crack for 10 years. When you hear her speak now, she's speaking with so much power, so much confidence. And I was like, wow. Love this lady. Love her. And her husband, Toby, is 6'2" tall.
Oh, my goodness.
She says that's a big teddy bear. And the way he loves her, the way he loves her is amazing, because he puts men to shame for what from what I've been told. He puts men to shame the way he, even Les Brown told me, he said he thought he knew how to treat a woman until he seen Toby, how he is with her.
And how did you meet them?
Relationships. I was referred to her by Valerie Nelson Parker, who was a speaker, writer, who was married to a pastor for years, had 4 children with him, and he was beating her up. So she talks about domestic violence. And so, you just meet different people and moving along, just being referred. And she told me about Tawana. She said, I got to meet Tawana. And I met Tawana and fell in love with Tawana. So, that goes back to relationships. There's nothing you can do on the planet by yourself. You see that
so
movie?
True.
You see that movie Castaway with Tom Hanks? He's on an island by himself. He starts talking to I think it was a coconut or something like that.
It's a basketball.
Yeah.
Huh?
It was a basketball.
Yeah. So there's nothing that you can do. You need help. I mean, you take the initiative, but you're going to need some help.
And if you can really surround yourself with the right people,
right,
I think everything becomes easier.
Right.
I was watching some of Mike Tyson last night on Oprah Winfrey. And man, if he had wrong people around him. He had the wrong people around him. He was misguided.
Yeah.
And he got into a lot of trouble.
And I think not enough people really realize, you started the show out with the breaking news about everyone has greatness within it.
Yes.
If people really realize that they do have greatness within them, they're not going to be as likely to surround themselves with the wrong people. Because why would they waste their greatness on those wrong people?
Right.
I don't believe that we need to be snobs and braggers and whatnot. But we do need to at least realize our own greatness, respect it, and use it to allow us to surround ourselves with the right people to grow relationships so that we can really achieve what I call our life, the life of your dreams.
Well, listen, you gotta realize right now I'm talking to what, the JV Queen?
Excuse me.
The JV Queen. That says it all right there. That says it all in a nutshell. You are the JV Queen. And that's powerful.
It is, but I don't think enough people really take the time to realize that about themselves. And so often in my students who are out trying to build businesses, on whether online or offline, I see people who don't necessarily have a voice that shows that they believe in themselves, and they wonder why they're not getting results in their business and why no one wants to buy what they have to sell. And it's got to start with what you believe about you. Until you can believe in yourself, how can someone else believe in you to buy what it is you want them to?
Right.
And there's no doubt when you listen to Ricky Young that you're somebody who is not at all snotty or anything like that, but that you know your purpose and that you're on mission, you're on purpose, you're doing what you're here to do. That's where those powerful relationships come from, and that's where you start going into a room and creating magic with other people who are there, because
you know what you're about. You know what you have inside of you. You know what you have to do. You
great
can't agree
on that. And even in boxing, if you don't know that about yourself, you're certainly not going to win.
Right.
No.
How about that? That's right. That's right. You know, I remember once I was doing an exhibition match against a kickboxer. And I was at my mom's apartment, again, at my mom's apartment. And she was there with her brother, who since passed away. And they were very concerned. They were very concerned about this match I was having with this kickboxer. And they said to me, he's going to be kicking. And I said, listen, I believe in myself, and I know what I can do, and I know I'm going to do great. I told him. I told both. I told my mom, and I told my uncle that. And lo and behold, in the match, get in there with this kickboxer. He's kicking. He's using his hands and his feet. The match was scheduled for 5 rounds. Well, in 2 rounds, the match was over. Just totally wiped the guy out. I won the match. It was very easy.
Right.
And that's confidence. That's confidence, believing in yourself, believing that you can do it. I mean, you have to do the work. I had to prepare. I had to be ready. I was prepared.
Right. So how do you do that? What do you do? Walk our listeners through the steps for them to do this themselves.
Well, you have to put the time in. Preparation is the key. Whatever, like say you're doing an interview, you have to really do your research. Put the time in. Read the books, you know. Study the person who you're going to be interviewing. With me, it's a bit of a challenge because I got so many interviews coming in, and I'm pretty much doing everything. I mean, I have help with Jackie. I'm doing a lot of the work myself, and that's a challenge. I got all these interviews coming up back to back to back. But you want to try to do as much. You know, when you step into an interview, you want to be prepared. Now, some
right.
people can just go in and just do the interview. For me, that doesn't work. I have to have something. To do my research on the person and find out a little bit about them. So that's as far as interviewing is concerned. So whatever field you're in, you have to do the work, whatever that work might be. If it's boxing, you have to train, you have to prepare, you have to exercise, you have to eat right and do what you need to do, get your rest, so you can be strong for the match. As far as marketing is concerned, I guess, being around right people, being around Gina, being around Rhonda, learning from them, and Jackie teaches me so much about the computer, a lot.
And by the way, Jackie's a blind person.
Yes, absolutely.
She's a blind, which is just something for people to know. There's always a few extra challenges. For those of us who
amazing.
Have to deal
She's
with
amazing.
The adaptive stuff.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She is amazing. And
well, but
I think
a lot of people suffer from low self-esteem in the first place, a very big
right.
lack of confidence.
Yeah.
And for those people, even if they do the work and they do the research and they know their stuff, and how do they get over that low self-esteem so that they know that they're going to succeed even if they put in the time?
Well, that's exercise. Exercise gives people confidence. I think that builds up your self-esteem. When you're doing some exercise, you normalize your weight and you get your physical fitness. It brings a different kind of level of confidence in you. Physical fitness is a key part of whatever you're doing. I have to say that. Definitely.
We're on the air with Ricky Young, and if you've got questions, we do have the text chat open, so feel free to leave some questions in there that we can ask Ricky, because I'm sure he'd be willing to answer them.
I'll do my best.
Rhonda, what else do you want to know from Ricky today?
Well, I think this is a really interesting track that we're on, and just want to go a little deeper into some of this. So, I know you're talking about being, the physical fitness being an important component for anything, but let's go into this. You know, we've got a lot of people who are learning to do a business using the power of the internet, you know, that are working with Gina or whatever. And they're definitely putting in the time to learn. But it seems to me there comes this point where in boxing you naturally get to it probably. There's either a challenge match or a demonstration or there's a big boxing tournament or there's something where now the practice, the preparation is done. You've made of yourself whatever you can, and now it's time to put it to the test. If you don't have that naturally in sort of the environment of your day-to-day life and business, what would you suggest for people who are in this phase of they're just learning and they're kind of practicing and working at it, but not switching over to getting that belief and self-confidence in themselves switched on? What might you say to people like that to help them get over that hump and into real success?
Well, the only thing that I would say is they need to get around people like Gina and get around people like Rhonda and learn from them and learn what they need to learn, you know, and that will, as you learn, as you educate yourself, you're going to gain more confidence because, say, a speaker, for a speaker to get up and talk about something, first of all, they say speaking is very nerve-wracking for most people to get up in front of people and speak. I guess they don't want to look like a fool or whatever. They're going to feel like, you know, like they don't want to look like an idiot in front of all these different people. But if you know your topic, then you have confidence to get up and speak in front of people. So education, educate yourself. Learn as much as you can. Get around, you know, Rhonda. Get around Gina. Find people that you can learn from and build your confidence up. That's pretty much what I would say. Education would breed confidence.
Okay, so we got education, we got exercise. Did I miss one there, Rhonda?
Those are the main ones that he's talked about so far. And, you know, but I think really the thing that you get in boxing that people don't seem to, or Rick, even that you're talking about in your own life, that I notice is missing is that real sense of applying what it is that you have been learning and being okay with going and testing it. Because I do see people that put themselves around great people and educate themselves every possible way. And then there's this missing ingredient because they're not getting the results of action because they're not actually putting whatever it is that they're learning from these great people and the great information that they're around and taking it into action. And perhaps that's, you know, kind of related to a physical aspect in physical fitness. In business, there are ways for people to just keep learning and soaking it in and not doing it. And I unfortunately see it happen a lot. You probably don't see it as much in boxing because those people either have given up or wouldn't be attracted to it just because of that action do it now nature of being involved in a sport.
Well, I tell you, you got to be able to take you know, baby steps because one success leads success breeds success.
Yeah.
And I had met Deepak Chopra, and I said to Deepak, I said, you know, and I guess confidence had built up because I had met Les Brown, I had met different people along the way. So by the time I got to Deepak, I had built up a certain confidence about talking to certain people. And I guess the boxing played a role in that. I, you know, being a boxer gave me a certain amount of confidence within myself. So what is it for me to speak to a Deepak Chopra or Wayne Dyer, who I've met several times, Les Brown? I could name many, many people that I've met. I said to Deepak, I said, listen, I would like for you to come and speak to my group. And he said, okay. Now, it took 5 years and really following up with his people going back and forth. It took 5 years, but eventually it did happen. And Deepak Chopra did come to Harlem to speak to my group. That was one of the most awesome experiences That was an awesome experience, you know, having Deepak come to speak. So I would have to say, you know, success breeds upon success. You know, you take a small success and work off of that and move to the next success. And, you know, try to be around people that are doing it. That's the only thing I can say. You want to be around people that are, because you don't want to be around people that are talking about doing it. You want to be around people that are doing it. Try to learn as much as you can from them. You have to take action. I just interviewed a woman by the name of Lethia Owens. She said, success and wealth loves action.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn to take action. Learn, take action. And don't be afraid to fail.
And my good friend David Preston says, money loves speed. So you've got to take action quickly. Don't just sit there and think about it for the next 5 years.
Right. Right. So it's nothing for me to call up anybody, you know, President Obama or anybody, say, hey, I would like for you to be a guest on my show. Nothing for me to do that. I will talk to anyone. You know, another way I look at it, I said, well, I'm only going to be on this planet a certain amount of time. So, you know, I might as well do it anyway. I don't know how much time I got. So I better do it than just saying I wish I would have did it. And I better go for it. I don't know. You step out your house, you know what's going to happen. You know, things happen in life. So you go for it. You make sure you're around people that are doing it. That's what I say as far as, you know, being successful in business. And you know, like Brian Tracy says, you know, copy what they do. You have to take
right. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can imitate the successes that are already there and just apply them in your own life, in your own world, and become successful yourself.
Right. That's right. That's right. Don't have to reinvent the wheel. The road has already been paved.
Exactly.
Right. One thing that's interesting is for some reason, people oftentimes I notice in online business who are just starting out, they'll take a system that's already working and go, oh, but well, you know, I think you should do this part this way. And it's like, well, you haven't earned the right to tweak because you haven't been in action yet. If you're not in action putting anything into practice, it would be kind of like somebody saying, well, no, I don't think the move should be done this way. It should be done that way. But you've never done it before. You have no idea what the results are. And just because you think it should be some other way, when you've never done it, you don't know. And action tends to take care of most of somebody's questions, most of somebody's fears, the internal objections or whatever, by actually getting out there and doing it and making things happen in your life.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. After take action. You know, I just came back from Boston. It was a radio convention. I went by myself, and I went to learn and network, and I met some new people, made some new friends, made some new connections. I learned some new things about the radio, and it was great. And before that, about 2 weeks before that, there was a radio convention in Philadelphia. I went by myself and met some new people, made some new connections, and you have to go for it. If I'd have stayed home, I'd have never met those people. I would have never
uh-huh.
made those connections.
Very cool. So, you're talking about some really interesting connections and people and so forth. What's one of the most perhaps surprising to you, surprising connections that you've made with people, and how did that happen?
Well, I went to the NAACP 100th anniversary. I went to on the last day. I think this thing was like, oh, like about a week long. I went like the last day, almost at the end. So I missed most of it. And I got in, and after President Barack Obama spoke, because they had blocked off all the exits and everything in the hotel. Couldn't move while he was speaking in like the big ballroom. Couldn't get, I was trying to get to the ballroom, but they had all the exits blocked off. I waited, and then after he finished speaking, I went into the ballroom. Who do I see? I see Andrew Young. Andrew Young is the former ambassador, United States ambassador, former mayor of Atlanta. He was with Dr. King during the Civil Rights Movement. He was actually with Dr. King when he got shot. He was with him during that time. He was one of the people that was there. And so I got a chance to, I saw him. I said, hey, how you doing? I started speaking to him. And I said, I'd like to speak to you about being on my show. And he was like, well, come with me, walk with me. And we walked up some steps and went where he was sitting and went and sat down. And then he said, okay, so we started talking. So tell me about it. And I told him, and he said, okay, he gave me a number. I wrote the number down, and then that started the process of setting up the interview. But what I learned from him, he said that he was not a good student. He said even still he doesn't read that well. So what he does, he puts his books on iPod and he listens. But he said he wasn't a great student. And then he told me he was in Howard University, and that's in D.C. He was getting ready to quit school, and something happened. When he was a young guy, him and the guy was in the back of the room playing with an ice pick. I don't know if you know what an ice pick is.
I do.
Okay. And they were playing with an ice pick. Very, very dangerous.
Right. Yeah, very.
And they both got suspended. So Andrew's mother brought him back, you know, to school, got him back to school. Couldn't come back, you know, without your mother. The other guy, his mother, she had a job where she was making like $1 a day, and she couldn't afford to take off of work. You know, she had to feed her children. She couldn't afford to take off of work. So the guy, and after third grade, he never got back in school. So Andrew Young is working in his pool as a lifeguard, getting ready to quit Howard, like just barely making it, getting ready to quit. So this guy, this like drugged out guy, almost drowns in the pool. He saves the guy. And the guy says to him, you don't know me, do you? So Andrew Young says, well, why? Should I know you? He says, I'm the guy who got in trouble with you in third grade in the back room with the ice pick. But I never got back in school because his mother couldn't bring him back because she couldn't take off her job. He had been in all type of prisons. He had been involved in all types of drugs. And his life was just messed up. He told Andrew Young, he said, stay in school, man. He said, because I'm just as smart as you. He said, man, stay in school. And that hit Andrew Young like, it was like an epiphany. Like, wow. And he got himself together and, you know, started, you know, doing better in school. But he was getting ready to quit. So that story, you know, that said a lot to me about, you know, that was an amazing story to hear from someone that has done as many great things in life as he has. So, you know,
absolutely. I mean, a mayor, an ambassador, and, you know, from somebody who just about gave up on himself because he wasn't able to learn in the way that the system thinks people should learn.
Yeah. There's another gentleman by the name of Willie Jolly. He's a motivational speaker. He was a singer, and he kind of got into motivational speaking almost by accident, which I said I don't believe in accidents, but, you know, telling his story, he was a singer, and he got canned. He was at a singing gig, and he got canned for the singing gig, so he had to go and teach young people, and that's how he got into speaking. So he says when he got his first paid speaking engagement, he was so happy. So he get on the airplane, he's going back home, he's happy, he's got this check, he got his first paid engagement. He's like, wow. You know, know, and then all of a sudden he realized that the money that he got paid for the speaking engagement was already allocated for. So then he got sad. Then he got depressed. Like, wow, money's gone already. He's on the plane sitting there sad, and there's a gentleman sitting, older fella sitting next to him. He says, "Excuse me, young man." He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Young man, you look a little down." "Yeah, a little bit." He says, "How old do you think I am?" He said, "Well, you look like you're in your 60s. He said, "Young man, I am 88 years old, and the best is yet to come." So Willie Jolly said, "Wow, if an 88-year-old man would say the best is yet to come, then why do I have to be down?" So he got confidence and went on and, you know, picked himself up and went on and became a very successful motivational speaker today. And so I say to all the listeners, anybody that might listen to this show, no matter what they might be dealing with, no matter challenges in business, the best is yet to come.
Well,
very cool.
That is very cool. So, Rhonda, what else do you want to know personally?
Well, first of all, I just want to remind folks that are listening, and I just tweeted, we do have a live chat, and we have where you can actually pop in, ask a question, and we can pass along, and so that you can also participate in the show. And before I ask another question, just let us know, Ricky, how we can find you on, particularly on Twitter. A lot of our folks love Twitter. And I also want to mention your Blog Talk Radio show where people can find you and listen to some of your interviews again. So your Blog Talk station is blogtalkradio.com/boxingforsuccess.
Yes. Yes.
And where do we find you on Twitter?
Twitter.com/boxingforsuccess. I like to use that boxing for success that's been with me for, I guess, almost in the beginning. I think when I first started teaching boxing, I used to call it boxing for fitness or something like that, but then I just kind of switched over to boxing for success. And Facebook, same thing, facebook.com/boxingforsuccess. And my email address is boxingforsuccess@gmail.com.
Great. So then people can very easily be able to find you. So I'm really loving what you're talking about, finding that greatness that lives inside of you and being able to take action on the things that are important to you. And I also know that there are people who go, I don't know if there's very much greatness inside of me. There are a lot of people who maybe feel like they might have a mission or something important, but just aren't feeling that greatness that lives inside of them. So would love for you to help that kind of a person who's maybe feeling down, what you can share from your own experience, from your own life, to get folks into that great mindset space of bringing that greatness that's inside of you and showing it and wearing it for others to see.
That's is an awesome question. That is an awesome question. I have a friend named Andre Taylor. He wrote a book called You Can Still Win. That's someone else that you would probably want to have as a guest. He's an awesome individual. And when you look at You Can Still Win, that means no matter what the challenges you might be going through, which is a book that I would definitely recommend. And the subtitle was Breakthrough, Bounce Back, Come From Behind, and Flourish. And no matter what you might be going through, you don't have the confidence, you can still win. But one of the things you have to do is you have to be willing to read. If it's nothing but 10, 15 minutes a day, you need to get these type of books. And I recommend it to you guys, Rhonda and Gina, to have Andre on your show. And he would love to be a guest on your show. Another book I would recommend is someone that I met, Greg Reed. I don't know if you know who Greg Reed is. He wrote a book called 3 Feet from Gold. Well, I met Greg in Las Vegas, and they did a motivational movie called Pass It On. And Pass It On is a motivational movie, like, along the same level as The Secret, a little different. But, you know, like, I look at it as a success DVD, a success movie. And I put them all in the same category, a little different. Well, anyway, Greg teamed up with Sharon L. Lecter, who was partnered with Robert Kiyosaki. She helped him to make his books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad books, to become bestsellers, Sharon L. Lecter.
Uh-huh.
And they teamed up, and they teamed up with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, three of them, to write this book, 3 Feet from Gold, Turn Your Obstacles into Opportunities. That's the subtitle. These are two books I highly recommend. Another one, someone I interviewed, Chris Gardner, he wrote a book called Start Where You Are. I don't know if you know who Chris Gardner is. Chris Gardner wrote the book The Pursuit of Happiness that Will Smith played him. Will Smith played him in the movie, The Pursuit of Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
He was homeless with his son. I overcame that adversity with a child on his hip. And overcome that, well, The Pursuit of Happiness, and now Start Where You Are. And basically, you have to start where you are. And someone who I want to interview, have not interviewed yet, but I'm working on it, is, oh my God, she wrote a book called No Matter What, Lisa Nichols. So with these type of books, you read these type of books, and these books will give you that confidence that you might not have. Those are just three books I named right off the top of my head, and people that I have interviewed. So that's what I would recommend.
Sure.
If you're not willing to read even 10, 15 minutes a day, you know, then you're really not serious about what you want to do with your life. Because you have to be willing to do what it takes. And if you're not willing to read 10, 15 minutes or half an hour, 30 minutes a day, then, you know, you can pretty much, you're not serious. It's just that.
Yeah, and the other thing that does is it puts you in the lives of people who are doing great things and who have something to share and something to teach you, and that really helps.
Right.
And even something like the Chicken Soup for the Entrepreneur's Soul, that's really fun. If you ever need a kick in the business, just reading one of those stories can give you some great insights and inspiration. And so what you're suggesting with reading these books, and part of it is about the reading and continuing to stimulate your mind, but part of it is that every time you read something, you get a glimpse into another person's life and another person's worldview, and that gives you that opportunity to put on their mindset. And so if you're not in that space yourself, that you can borrow somebody else's mindset for a while, and that oftentimes can help you get that new perspective, right?
Absolutely. 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 As a matter of fact, I have him on my radar. I want to interview him on my show, the author of Chicken Soup for the Entrepreneur and Soul, Kyle Wilson. We're connected on Facebook. I think we're connected on Twitter, and I definitely, without a doubt, want to interview him because he's connected with Jim Rohn, he's connected with Brian Tracy and Dennis Waitley. He's doing a lot of great work in the personal development world. So one of the things I've done is pretty much made friends in the personal development world because that's what I wanted to do. So I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know what you want. You know, I've met Brian Tracy. I've met as I said, Les Brown, George Fraser, who wrote a book called Click and Success Runs in Our Race, and Greg Reed, you know, from Pass It On. And
mm-hmm.
You go where they are. You go where they are. There's people in my community, some of them stand on the corner. And, you know, what that's about, you know, that's, to me, that's not what it's about. And I put myself in the place where I want to be around people that are successful and doing things successfully. I want to hang around the Chris Gardners of the world.
You said something really significant for relationship marketing, which is put yourself where they are.
Yes.
And that is true in two ways. That is true certainly for those whom you may want to connect with, as you talked about the folks in the personal development arena. It's also true for your audience, your ideal customer. I heard you earlier telling the story about how you ended up teaching at the university. And what you said was that you had started coaching these two for boxing, and that's where they were going, and you started going over there to hang out and talk to different people, and by you ended up with a job there because you put yourself where they were, and then you were able to make things happen. In putting yourself where they are, both for those people that you are wanting to reach in your business, your target audience, your ideal customer, if you don't put yourself where they are, you'll never have the opportunity really to connect with them and with others like them, because you're not going to be hanging out where your people are hanging out. The same thing with those that you aspire toward, those that you want to reach. And you're talking about that in your life and doing that in the same way that you wanted to reach out to Kyle Wilson or people like that, then you are putting yourself where they are so that you have that opportunity to connect with them. And I think that's one real difference between somebody like yourself who is doing things, making it happen, and those who are wishing things would happen because they go, gosh, I'd sure love to connect with, you know, Brian Tracer, with whomever. But they're not putting themselves in the space where that's even likely. They're just in the space of wishing.
Right. The other thing is, you know, the Brian Tracys and people that are very successful in business, they are people like we are. They're no different than we are. You know, I respect the work that they've done. And, you know, Brian Tracy, the way he puts out these books is just unbelievable. Sometimes I look at him and like, I say, man, this guy is insane. The way he puts out audio programs and books. I mean, he just, I'm talking about discipline. He's one of the most disciplined people in personal development, because I don't think too many people have put out as many programs as he has. He's put those programs out there. I don't know his system, but I wish I did know his system. But he you know, did another one, Tony Robbins. Very disciplined individual. That's something that we cannot overlook. Discipline. And, you know, speaking of discipline, I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Don Powers. That's someone you might want to reach out to as well. I really, really enjoyed his interview. He did an audio program called Five Disciplines of Powerful People. And five P's, of course. Five P's to discipline people. And I guess you want to know what those five P's are.
Well, since you brought it up.
Let's see if I can remember. The first one is, oh boy, here we go. The first one is, let me see. I'll see if I can come up with it. Got to be prepared, right?
Well, we never know what's going to come up, and we can always look it up, but you certainly have aroused some curiosity there. So that sounds like a fantastic program. And say the name again of the person who put that together.
John Powers. The first one is called Promise. Promise. The first P is promise. Because we make promises to ourselves. And a lot of times, sometimes we follow up, sometimes we don't. But when we make a promise, he talks about a gentleman that made a promise to get a physical checkup every year. And by doing that, he was able to catch something, able to live, because he caught something that, you know, he caught something early enough. So promise is very important. The second P is planning. Got to have a plan. Got to put a plan in place. And without a plan, you know, pretty much it's really hard to achieve. And then the third is passion. Actually, the second one is passion. The second one is passion. So it's promise. It's passion. You want to be passionate about whatever you make the promise for. Then the third P is planning. You want to have a plan. You want to work out a plan. You got to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth P is persistence. Persistence. Almost like the book we talked about earlier, 3 Feet from Goal. Most people give up just when they're about to succeed. They give up. So being persistent, never giving up. You know what you want. You're going to go for it. You're going to keep going for it. Whether you get it or not, I'm going to keep going for it.
Why do people give up when they're so close?
I guess they don't realize how close they are. I guess if they knew how close they were, they probably wouldn't give up.
That's probably very true.
And the final P is personal achievement. And I guess when you put all of those P's together, you will achieve personal achievement. So, John Powers, that's someone I definitely would recommend you reach out to and take a look at his program. He said to me something, I was like, whoa. He said, when you discipline yourself and master yourself, you master the world. I said, whoa, profound. When you discipline yourself, master yourself, you master the world. I was like, whoa. I really got that.
And explain what he means by that. I understand that. I want to make sure our listeners do.
Well,
right.
it all comes down to self-mastery. Controlling yourself. Controlling, I believe, when I look at discipline, I look at controlling your thoughts, controlling your emotions, and controlling your actions, self-control. And something that I heard Jim Rohn say, he just had all these profound just words of wisdom. Just love it. Jim Brown was a football player. Jim Rohn said that we must learn how to discipline our disappointments. I was like, oh, man, to me,
that's a good one.
I love that one.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, you learn these things, and you know, they're not just words. People say, oh, you know, motivation and inspiration and positive thinking. You have to put it to action. So that means that when you're disappointed, you have to learn how to discipline that without going crazy, because things are not going to always go your way. I'll give you an example. One day, I was on Lexington Avenue in New York, and I walked up to the bus stop. The bus driver looked at me and took off. I was like, what? I was heated. I said, you know what? I'm gonna get this guy. I was going, because I know I wasn't that far from the end where the bus makes its last stop. I said, okay, I want to see this guy. I'm going to deal with this, right? The next bus pulls up, right? I get on it. It's a young lady that I know, a friend of mine. She's like, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time. How's everything? How you been? You still boxing? I'm looking out saying, holy moly, here I am heated thinking about this guy. And so the way I look at that is, that bus that left, that was not my bus. The bus that I got on was the bus I was supposed to be on. And if you look at it like that, it'll always work out for you. Instead of saying, well, you know, if you're late for something, then you say, well, why was I late? And you find out the reason. You get a lesson. Well, why was I late? For, you know, what I need to do to be on time, whatever. But wherever you are is where you're supposed to be, because that's where you are. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
It does. We are all in the perfect place at the perfect time, always.
Right.
That's right.
Right. That's right. That's right.
I've got a great story about that, and I'll try and share it quickly because we're almost out of time. But a year or so ago, my husband and I are full-time RVers, and we were heading up to Vermont for a seminar. And on the way there, we get up to the top of this mountain, and it's kind of rainy, and huge, huge grate comes up, and it says, truckers use low gear. Well, we're using low gear, and my husband's got the brake on, and he's got the Jake brake on, and we're still picking up speed. And we hit the bottom of this really steep grade, doing 48 miles an hour, where the road then tees. We either have to go left or right, or we can go straight and go to the bottom of Lake George. Well, we managed to just get to the bottom, and Lord only knows how it happened. My husband just managed to make that turn so perfectly. We didn't even tip. We didn't even skid. Not anything. But we were so shaken up, we had to pull over to the side of the road and stop just to thank the Lord that we were still alive.
Right.
Well,
yeah, no kidding.
Because we had to stop, while we're sitting there, I get this phone call from somebody I've been trying to connect with for months, who, unbeknownst to me, is only a few miles away from where we were at. And only because of the fact that we had stopped were we able to connect with this person, ended up coming over and meeting us on the side of the road, and it turned into a $20,000 deal that never would have happened if we hadn't have had that mishap. So you're always in the perfect place at the perfect time, and you need to ask why you're having these things happen so that you don't miss those kinds of signals. Don't look at them and think of them as being something that's bad. Look at them as something that's good and see the hidden message within them.
That's right. You see, look at that. Look at that. That's a perfect example. That's a perfect example.
So, Ricky, if people want to find you after the show, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/boxingforsuccess, twitter.com/boxingforsuccess, blogtalkradio.com/boxingforsuccess. My email address is boxingforsuccess@gmail.com.
We got to get you blogging, Ricky.
Yes.
I know. Yep.
I actually have a blog, but I haven't, like, once I got, like, really moving to Facebook, I kind of, like, haven't been doing the blogging too much.
Well, I saw your blog, but you're on Blogspot. You need a blog on boxingforsuccess.com, and you want to blog in a way that you have your blog tied into your Facebook and tied into your Twitter so that they're all connected. You've got some great messages, and it would be great for people to find you in the search engines. And it is tough to find where your message really is in the search engines unless you know Boxing for Success. Most people won't know Boxing for Success. They'll just know that they've got some sort of a problem that you could potentially help them to solve. I'm going to work with you on getting a blog up for yourself.
Well, I'm really looking forward to working with you guys because you guys are, you know, doing great things, great work, and you know, I consider myself a student. I mean, I teach people, but I am definitely a student as well.
Well, we're all lifelong learners, and I always believe that the day we stop learning is the day we die. So, you know, we are all students, no matter what.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well,
it's how fabulous to have you here. Thank you.
It has really been our privilege to have you here today, Ricky, and I can't wait till next week when we have Bob Berg as our guest on this show. That's going to be awesome. Thank you so much for arranging that, Rhonda. It has been a great, great episode. and really everyone, I think the biggest message that came out of today is that we all have greatness within us, and it's a matter of really believing in yourself and taking action, and you will achieve the success that you're looking for. So thanks again, Ricky, for being here. Good luck to you, and if we can ever do anything to serve you, please don't hesitate to contact us.
Well, make sure you tell Bob Berg that he's one of my favorite guests. I love Bob Berg. Awesome.
We will definitely tell him that when we talk to him next week.
And come listen to the show. We'd love to have you right back here at the same radio station at the same time to listen. And it's just exciting. Every week we do great things to help you grow your business and improve your life.
I like you. I like the way that sounds.
Mm-hmm. But take care, and we'll be back next week, Tuesday at noon Eastern, here on Blog Talk Radio for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101. Take care, everybody, and have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.